Recording.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the Projection Podcast, episode 15. Welcome back. It's been a while, but we've been busy, having fun, training hard, and yeah.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Well, quite long, like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, probably about three. Missed doing it. I've got a lot to say. Been thinking a lot.
I know you've been thinking a lot. You've been coming up with so much ideas and things to do with podcasts, your life, just everything. And I've just been here late, like, doing me, and I'm like, fuck, Evie, you've got so much ideas, bro. But it's cool. It's cool. I've been doing some thinking as well, most of the time.
That's good. It's always good to think.
It is, man.
Yeah. And I've been away, and so has Max. And I didn't have any Wi-Fi, and I ran out of data very quickly. I didn't have any in the first place. So I had a lot of spare time to think, uninterrupted thinking. So that was quite nice in a way, but again, it meant I couldn't really podcast or share that whilst I was there. So let's hope I haven't forgotten anything.
But how did you find that? Was it nice to be distant from social media and that life for a bit?
Yeah, well, at the moment, I am already, compared to most people, I think, pretty distant from social media anyway. Like, I tend to keep my distance. I mean, I do engage, but it's not like I know a lot of people who are completely obsessive over it. So it was nice to not even have the option to go and check, but it was also a bit restrictive because I do get like stuff out of talking to people like Max and all that, and there's beneficial uses of social media, being able to communicate freely. So I don't actually think it was that much of a change for me. It didn't feel difficult not going on Instagram or whatever, but the hard thing was not just being able to have the freedom to update someone on whatever or to send a message if I felt I needed to.
Yeah, I bet 100. I've been posting almost every day on my Insta at the moment. I'm just quite into it. Just, I think it's fun doing it for me. Just whenever I have a funny clip or whatever, I'm just like, boom, I'll put that up. It's nice. But I do like not being on my phone all the time because you don't get anything done. And it's just, I don't feel like I accomplish anything. And when I chill and relax, it feels so good if I get up, do all my stuff, my training, my routines, and just work really hard. And then when I actually relax in the evening and recover, then it feels good. But if I'm constantly just on my phone and relaxing all the time, it doesn't feel good.
Yeah. One more like a quick thing I've got to say before we move on to actual topics that we've been sent in, we want to discuss in more detail than we usually do. Is there something you do? Is you will go out of your way to get a post for Instagram, and that's something that I never really do. Like, for example, when you do the no-handed slab, you put a little bit of effort into getting that to share for people, and that's just something that I've never really felt comfortable doing. I don't know, I feel I would just cringe at myself if I was putting on like
well, you do, I hype you that's me, but it's like a hyped up version, isn't it? Like, you just over express a bit and make it more entertaining, I guess. And it was, but like that day when we were out, I did my whole climb, like I was projecting this hard boulder, and then I was just playing on the slab, and then that idea just came to me, and I was like, Tom, film this. And he's like, ah, cool. And then it just rolls, and when it rolls, I don't know, I have fun with it, and it was fun. And then I put it on Instagram, and it makes people laugh or cringe or whatever. So
Yeah, I just wouldn't be able to do that at the moment. I would I'd put it out and I'd be thinking, oh, I wonder what people are thinking. Are people finding this horrible to watch? Or are people finding it funny? And I just don't think, for me personally, it's helpful to have that constant reliance on external feedback on my mood or whatever. I prefer just to post something that is a nice photo of me climbing or of whatever. I wouldn't really put on an act or try and falsify anything for a post. I'm not saying that's the right thing to do or anything, but that's just personally
how I don't know if I was falsifying, but I just thought it was funny and I liked to do it and I enjoyed doing it. And yeah, I like doing that stuff, it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't, when I post that stuff, I'd never really feel like, yesterday I put up a post and that didn't do well at all. And that used to be like, oh, I didn't get that much likes. But literally, I'm just like, I'm just going to post like as much as I can. And if it does well, it does well. If it doesn't do well, it doesn't do well. And I feel like for me, that's good because I enjoy posting things. And yeah, it's good responses as well. But I think that way, it's, I don't worry that much if I'm just putting out stuff. Which, yeah, I guess that's kind of same for you. If you're like, you just want to post that good photo or whatever. Now I'm just like, I'll do this, do that. And if it does good, it's good. But if not, then who cares, innit?
Yeah. Interesting. Well, we should probably move on to topics we've been sent in to discuss that people want to hear. And just a reminder, if you haven't seen our Instagram post, we're now making episodes a bit shorter. I've been doing two of them a week instead of one. So we'll do, say, 30, 35-minute episodes and post two of them instead of doing one hour-long episode. So they'll be released at separate points in the week, probably. So it'll just be, I don't know, you'll get more episodes, more concentrated, focused ones on topics that you want to hear about. Just send us a message if there's anything you're particularly interested in hearing our opinions on, and we'll do our best to discuss it.
Yeah. Okay, so do you want to get into it? The topics of today's pod.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Breakdown. Did you enjoy Spain? I almost said, did you enjoy Font? That was me. How was Spain, bruv?
Well, it was pretty amazing in some ways, and it was pretty weird in other ways. Because I've never really been on a long rock climbing trip. Like, I've not been on many. I went to Spain last year or early this year. I was over New Year, and I was there for 10 days, I think, climbing for maybe 7 days. So it was a lot more focus. I was just doing hard stuff. I was just seeing where I was at, trying to get harder grades and harder grades. And I love that. That's like, I can't really be content just climbing easy stuff. So in where I was this time, I was in Cantabria, which is a region of Spain that doesn't have that many hard routes yet. There's a lot of potential for hard routes. There's a lot of absolutely amazing rock. It's just not been developed fully. So there wasn't much opportunity for me to try anything hard. I think the hardest line that I tried was 8C, and I put the clips in and I sent it next go without too much stress. Like, I could have carried on going, I felt, and it was a bit frustrating feeling so strong because I've been training really hard in lockdown but not being able to get the results or to solidify or that I am actually at that point that I want to be, where I'm able to climb really hard stuff and go through the process of projects and something which I really enjoy. So that was a little bit frustrating, but at the same time I did learn to appreciate just beautiful 5-star lines, and they have 5-star there. We only get to up to 3-star in Britain. I thought that was where the limit was, but some of the best climbs I've ever done, like including ones that have been set specifically for people. Like, these are just natural bits of rock, but it's just like unbelievable how perfect it is to climb it, and every body position just feels amazing, and every clipping position just feels like it's been put there. So even on easy stuff or easier stuff, so I would on site, I don't know, 8A's, and it would just be like beautiful 40 meters of climbing, and you just be able to escape into that headspace when you're in your own world, and for those 10 minutes you just don't think about anything else but what's immediately in front of you. And that's such a meditative position to be in. That's basically the whole point of meditation, is to try and find that headspace where you're completely focused on one thing and you forget about all external stimuli and everything coming at you, everyone on the ground. You're physically above them, and you're metaphorically in your headspace, you're way above all the problems that are going on the ground. When you're on that bit of rock, you're not thinking about, oh, I'm going to have to quarantine when I get back, or I wonder what's for tea. You're not thinking about anything because you're just in this trance of this beautiful movement. And it's, that was such a nice experience for me that I've never had before. So I really enjoyed discovering that side of climbing.
That's insane. That sounds bliss, bro. It sounds like similar, like, I had the same experience in Font. It was amazing. But I got a question to ask you about that. Mm-hmm. Like you said, with obviously it was a bit frustrating. You can't get on the 9A's, 9A pluses, and just actually proper push yourself and show to the world that I'm fucking Hamish McArthur in it, and you coming up, training so hard, and yeah, it would have been sick for you to do some big, big ascents. But congrats on doing your 8C second goal, that's still amazing. Did meditation help with not getting frustrated that you couldn't get on some harder stuff that you'd have liked to do?
Good question, because I've not really thought about that. I think it probably has, but not consciously. I've not been in the position where I'm like, oh, I'm frustrated, and I think, remember your meditation, Hamish, how much that's helped. When it's something you do every day, and I don't do it for long, I don't meditate for long, I meditate maybe 5-10 minutes a day, but every day it does become slightly ingrained in you, those little benefits of just having that awareness. So I'm not sure if that's, you can't really remove it once it's there, if you know what I mean. You can't really say, yeah, that was the meditation. But whether it was or wasn't, I did still feel a little bit like, I just want to try hard, because that's always what I want to do, is just push myself. So I feel that probably did help in the sense that I still managed to enjoy other parts of climbing without just focusing solely on that. But yeah, it's I don't sound very coherent at the moment, but that's because I'm not
what coherent means,
but I'm not too sure. That's the answer, I'm afraid, is it's hard to separate meditative Hamish from premeditative Hamish. Who knows?
I feel for me, I notice pre and post meditative Max a lot. Like, a lot. I can tell. And when I don't do it for when I was in Font, there was a few days where we were getting up at like 5 in the morning, and then just driving straight to the boulder, which I was wanting to do, because try and get their primo temperatures, and I didn't meditate then, and I saw like towards the end of the day I was a bit more like aggy now, but I would notice it because I do my meditation, but I don't normally get that agginess, so I notice it on myself quite a bit.
That's crazy. I don't notice it in day periods. Like when I was away, I didn't meditate for maybe the first week or 2 weeks, just because I didn't really feel the need. I was so chilled out because I've got no responsibility when I'm there, pretty much, apart from just going and climbing. I've got no jobs to do. I've got nothing to think about. I don't even have Wi-Fi. I can't really even like look at emails and deal with that or social media, really. So I didn't, and I was fine. The benefits for me don't go within 2 days, I don't think. I'm not sure why we have a difference there, but...
We're different, isn't it? We're different people. But that's cool. That's mad. But yeah, I mean, I think like every day I was there, except for like the 2 days where I got up really early.
How long were you there for?
I think a week. Okay. We were there for like a week, maybe. Not that long, which is annoying, but it was sick. Like, first time in Font, it was like, should I speak about Font, or do you want to speak about Spain a bit more?
You go, Max. I'm interested. I haven't heard anything about it, really.
Okay, cool. So we left at like 11 at night on Friday or whatever, and we drove 15 hours to get to Font throughout the night. I slept like an hour or 2 hours because I couldn't get comfy and I just couldn't sleep, which is annoying, and I was really tired. But like, we drove for like 4 hours and the car broke down, well, the van. So the van broke down like twice on the way there. three times in the way back, and that was a bit stressful, but that's made it funny. We got to Font, and then we got there pretty late, and driving through Paris, bruv, like on the Saint Periphery or whatever, that was a madness. Like Thomas, who was driving, he had only driven in Scotland before, and so driving on French roads, other side of the road, the mad traffic, that was, he did a good job, but oh my days, it was fun. Then the climbing was amazing. Like, I didn't do anything hard, really. I just, the first day I was there, I did a 7C, I did an 8A boulder for second go, I did quite a few things, and it was really hot. Like, every day it got to 30, and then one of the days was 42 degrees, so it was hot. But I tried this 8B plus for two sessions actually, and then in the first session I dropped the last move from start, and then did it one move in almost. I didn't do top out, but I'd one move in, and then my skin was dead, and I was not good enough to do that hard boulder in the heat, basically. Just not there yet, but I had fun just doing so many boulders, and I feel like going back to Font with some way better temperatures, I would do some damage, and I'm excited to do that. But it was good. I did like 2 8A boulders pretty quick, 7Cs, some good 7B pluses and stuff like that. And this 7B dino smash was insane, so fun. And I did a 7B slab in 30 degrees heat, sun on it. The holds were tiny, fam, like so small. And the foothold was so like sharp and small. Like, I, for one of the goals, my shoe was not as stiff I'd like it. So I got a chalk brush, taped it to my foot, and then put my foot with the chalk brush in my shoe. So it gave my shoe even more stiffness.
So I could,
that's some tech, isn't it?
Did it work?
Well, I did it without it. Okay. I think it would work.
Yeah, but I'm not going to advise anyone to do that.
I thought it worked. It seemed to work.
But then you decided to take it out and then proceeded to send it.
Yeah, so it would have been a cool story, but it didn't work, so I still tear it anyway.
Yeah, that's good.
But I'm gonna. You're making a video from Spain, aren't you?
Yeah, me and Joe got a little bit of footage. We borrowed a camera from the guys at La Sundance, which is a wall that's opening in Leeds. For those who don't know, I was speaking to them about it, and they said, "Oh, we've got a camera." So Joe Swales showed it to my house at about 11 p.m. a couple of nights before we went, and gave me this camera, this like really nice a camera that I have absolutely no idea how to use. I was like, right, I was gonna get insurance on it, but I forgot, so please don't lose it. Don't get any sand in it. Don't break it, because it's quite expensive. So thanks, Joe, for trusting me with that. I'm not too sure why you did it, but we didn't break it. That's important.
I'm glad.
So we got some really good footage actually, and we're looking to start editing that in a couple weeks' time probably. We're just sorting some stuff out first. But that'd be really cool. And then he said we can, or I can keep it for Switzerland, which we're going to in a couple weeks' time anyway. So
I'm
hopefully we get
so
some more
excited.
footage there. But yeah, that was interesting hearing about your fun experience, 'cause I didn't really know anything about it,
Yeah,
but
fun was amazing, bro. We were camping as well. Were you camping in Spain?
no. I was there for like 3 weeks with Joe and his family. We weren't. He had a ha he has a house out there. Oh, his parents do. So we were staying there.
Bang.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was camping, first time really camping, and that was bliss, bro. The campsite was just so nice, everyone was so friendly, it was really good. There was a pool as well, swimming, after climbing for like 10 hours every day, and then yeah, I just loved it. I was just away from it's just like that opens my eyes to being like, okay, after competitions and all this stuff. Like, that's what I want to do. I want to just travel, live, and just climb the hardest routes and boulders I can possibly. Document that and just live that life, innit?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, me too. Me too. That's just something interesting to discuss, but we should probably move on to the next topic that we've been sent in, or one of them. So, what do you want to talk about next, Max? I think plateauing would be quite an interesting discussion, and
Do
how to
you
avoid that.
mean plateauing?
Plateauing, yeah. We're
Yeah,
talking
okay.
about. I think you can just guess. Max thought it was plateau, which is fair enough.
Well,
It's not a
yeah.
very common TEA to be pronounced O. You'd think plateau,
Yeah.
but anyway, plateauing. So, what's your experience with this? Have you ever been in a plateau, do you think?
I don't know if my thoughts and my ethos or whatever, right or wrong, I feel like I'm always getting better, even if it's not just like, okay, I'm not jumping up V7 to V8 and then to V9 every like month or whatever. You're making the tiniest marginal gains, like just being like better at foot movements or standing on your foot at this precise little thing, or being able to do the splits where you can do it before, and that's going to open so much doors on the wall. And like, I just feel like I'm always getting better. There's always stuff you can change and get better at, even though say your finger strength isn't getting better, it's the same, but there's something else which is getting better. So in my head, I'm never plateauing. Like, okay, I'm climbing the same grade as I was last month to this month or whatever, but I feel that I'm better. I don't know. That's my experience with it.
Yeah, but I think the difference that you said you couldn't do the splits and now you can or whatever, that's not something that just happens. That's because you're putting the work in to try and make it happen. But a lot of people I know feel like they are putting the work in, they're training super hard, and they're not seeing this drastic improvement. Or even if it's a tiny improvement, it's still kind of a plateau, even if you're been climbing for 10 years or something, and you're for the past 5 years you haven't improved a grade, even if you've got marginally better at technique or whatever, you haven't had that jump that people judge their ability on, which is the quantifiable grade. So yeah, it's a interesting one, because there are, like, in sports psychology, there's I think there's like 7 or 8 explanations for plateauing. I used to know what they were, but I can't remember them now. It's like motivation, coaching, limit of ability, task difficulty, or there's loads of different explanations for plateauing. So I think the most important thing to do first is, instead of just staying in that routine that a lot of people are used to being, they're doing the same training and they're thinking, right, I'm going to get better at pull-ups. So they do pull-ups every day, and they're still not getting better at climbing. And instead of thinking, it's just a plateau, it's unfair, I should be getting stronger, you should probably realize that pull-ups isn't the limiting factor in your climbing ability. So that's what you would do. Say you were just talking about then finger strength and flexibility. So if you say my finger strength isn't improving, like it doesn't seem to be getting any better when you're doing that. Sorry, that's not what you were saying. Like your flexibility, if you actually train to do the splits as you were talking about, and if your climbing still isn't improving, then it's probably not flexibility that's holding you back. It's just identifying what is the actual weakest link in your climbing ability. What is the thing that's causing the plateau in there? You can just search it for the common factors that cause a plateau. And once you've found that out, it's so easy to change it. You think, okay, when you actually think about it, not just experiment to do this, when you actually think about it and analyze your performance, analyze your climbing, you watch yourself, you think, okay, I can do this climb but not this climb, but they're the same grade, what's the difference between them? Oh, it's on this climb you need to be able to hold really small holds, why can't I do that? My finger strength isn't good enough, so instead of doing all this bicep work, I'm gonna start fingerboarding a bit and build that up until I'm at a position where I can do both those climbs. And then you can probably use that finger strength to do something harder, and you can cultivate a new skill set that you didn't have before just by focusing on what you don't have currently. And that's basically the only way to improve, is figure out what you don't have at the moment and then train to have it. It's pretty obvious once you realize it, but it's so easy to get stuck in that cycle when you don't have a coach telling you what to do that makes sure it incorporates every part of training, pretty much. When you're just doing it yourself and you're just hoping that it works out, it's going to be really hard to make sure you cover every base.
Yeah, and you got to trust it so much, innit, like trusting the process. Because even when I was down training, like in Leeds and stuff, there's like days or weeks where I'm like, it's not like I'm plateauing, it's like I'm like, I want to be better, why am I not better? And then it's like, okay, you can't have everything right all at once. Like, I love this quote where it's like, I want everything, but I don't want it all right now. And I really like that, because for me, it's like you're always striving to get better, no matter if you reach this destination, you move the finish line a little bit further so you can improve and get better and better. And it was like, I'd be like, okay, I'm kind of like at this level, and then suddenly I would make that breakthrough, and then I'd be like, oh, okay, I was just tired, it was like I'm not got worse, I've not, it's just, yeah, the process is long and enjoyable, and you gotta accept it and trust your coach, trust whoever.
I think the issue is that a lot of people who are feeling they're plateauing don't have a coach. Otherwise, their coach should be the first point of contact in quite a lot of cases to ask, instead of trying to listen to us who don't know them individually. I think the most most people who are experiencing this don't have that ability to go and say, okay, coach, why am I not climbing as well as I want to be? And they'll explain it to you. So, oh, you're fatigued at the moment because you've been training hard. I'll give you a rest week in a couple of weeks and you'll be at peak performance then, and then you'll hopefully break the plateau. It's a lot of people who are just climbing because they enjoy climbing and then want to get stronger because they enjoy climbing harder things. And it's not necessarily as serious as this. They don't have this goal of doing all these things in climbing. They just enjoy climbing hard stuff and want to be able to climb a little bit harder, but they feel they're putting the work in and they're not. So I think when you
gotta put the work in, basically.
Yeah, but in the right places. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you need to train harder.
Yeah,
this is
smarter.
we're talking about people who are already putting the work in, or already. Yeah, it's putting the work in the right place. There's absolutely no, you're not going to get any better if you just have really strong biceps, but everything else stays the same. Because there's no climb at any level that is just dependent on
biceps.
One tool. Yeah, even if it's biceps or if it's finger strength. In climbing, it's why I love it so much, is you have to have the whole package. You have to be flexible and strong and coordinated and agile. You have to have everything. So yeah, when one thing lags behind and you just forget about it, because it's so easy to forget about it, then the whole climbing experience just kind of plateaus.
Gotta have the whole shebang.
Exactly. Wise words, Max. That's gonna be in your quotation book one day. 10 years time, they're gonna look back in this conversation and think, "Wow, Max Milne, gotta have the whole shebang."
And on that note, should we end it there?
I think we should.
The whole shebang.
Yeah, Max. If you take anything away from this podcast, it's those words. So yeah, we'll end it there for this episode. We'll release this today, which is Saturday probably, and then Friday, sorry. So we'll probably release this today, and then we'll record another 30-35 minute episode again of questions that you've sent in, and we will release that at another point in the week, so you can get two doses of projection.
Doses. Alright, cool. Okay, I will see y'all in a bit. Peace.
Peace.